بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. وقال تعالى: ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. لدرس رسائل درود شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ربي، صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، my respected elders and dear brothers, we all would have recalled the time when Ramadan was approaching and all the happiness and excitement on the arrival of this month, the Jummah before and the beginning of Ramadan, we were speaking about, and the talks were all about this great month and how fortunate we are. And before we know, the month has, you know, we say it was just flying past. It just went flying past this month. We were saying Ramadan is coming, coming, coming. And now we're saying it is going, going and going, and then it will be gone. So this is perhaps the last, in fact it is the last Friday of this great month of Ramadan. And as we come into the end of this month, as this month is coming to its conclusion, it is very, very important that at this point in time we take into consideration some important points. Number one, what should be our frame of mind when this great month is leaving? How should we approach the departure of the month of Ramadan? So our frame of mind when this great month is departing, it should be one, as they say in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-imanu bayn al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman is between hope and fear. And that is the frame of mind that we should have as this great month is departing, that we should be in a state of between hope and fear. We have on one side, we will have fear or worry that this great month came. Did I do justice to this month? Did I do what I was supposed to do? Did I fulfill the rights of this month? What was the quality of my ibadat? Was it of a level that was worthy of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I just did it anyhow just to get it over with. That is the worry, the concern that we should have as this month is coming to an end. We also should have this concern that, Ya Allah, you are kind to show us this month of Ramadan. Ramadan will come again. Will I be here for the next Ramadan? We should have this concern in our heart. So that is the one emotion, is the emotion of fear that we have. We have this emotion of worry and concern. And also we have at the same time a feeling of sadness. There must be a feeling of sadness. A guest came to our door at the beginning of this month, and it brought with it beautiful gifts, and now the guest is going away, the guest is departing. So there must be a sense of sadness. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, if my ummah knew what is the benefits of Ramadan, what is the goodness of Ramadan, they would have wished that the whole year should have been Ramadan, and Ramadan should have not come to an end. So nevertheless, my dear friends, on one side, we have these worries and concerns that did we really fulfill the right of this month? We were deficient. We did not fulfill the the Jews of this month, and at the same time we also approach it with a feeling of hope, that we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy will accept whatever we did, no matter how broken, no matter how incomplete, no matter how deficient. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts from His servants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our ibadah that we did in this month of Ramadan. So we also must have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must have hope, for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this manner, this should be our frame of mind as this month of Ramadan is departing. As I quoted the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning, when he said, Al-Imanu bain al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman is between hope and fear. We always are fearful too on one side, and on the other side we also have hope. We should not be on either extreme. We shouldn't feel, no, I did lot of ibadat, and I did lot of good deeds, and, you know, I did this, and I did that good deed, and a person is very, so full of hope about everything that he did, that there's no element of fear in his heart. What if Allah does not accept it? We think we did very well, but is it acceptable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it shouldn't be that we only have hope and we are overconfident about our ibadah. And it shouldn't be the other way, that we despair and we say, no, it was not worth it. Whatever we did, we don't even know, we don't think it's accepted. No. We should also, at the same time, we should not have so much of fear that as though Allah Rabbul Izzat will never accept whatever we did. We must be in the state between hope and fear. The example they give is like the bride on her wedding day. The bride on the wedding day, now all her friends and her family, they are around her and they say, oh, you're looking so beautiful and you are looking so pretty today and you're looking so special today. So she's happy on one side, but she's also fearful on the other side, that all these people are praising me, but the most important person, the bridegroom, what is his opinion going to be? If the bridegroom doesn't have a good opinion and he doesn't think I look nice and beautiful and pretty, then all these people's praises will be worth nothing. So on one side there is a feeling of happiness and hope, that everybody is saying I'm looking nice, but there's also a feeling of fear that what if the bridegroom doesn't like me, then what? So like that, we also should have these feelings of hope on one side, and we should have a feeling of fear on the other side. It should be between these two conditions. We should be between these two conditions. That is a kamil iman. Perfect iman is al-imanu bain al-khawfi wal-raja. Between hope and fear, that is the true iman of a believer. If a person thinks, I am guaranteed Jannat, I'm going straight into Jannat, that is overconfidence now. And if a person thinks, no, I'm such a big sinner, Allah is going to send me straight to Jahannam, that is fear, that is extreme too. This is the other extreme. And between the two we say, Ya Allah, I know I'm a big sinner, I'm not worthy of entry into Jannah, but I hope that by your mercy you will grant me entry into Jannah. And a person says that, I know my deeds are so bad that I actually deserve to go to fire of hell, but your mercy is so much that I know that you will not send me to fire of hell. So this is al-imanu bain al-khawfi wal-raja. We should lead our whole life in this state and condition. It is said about the great Khalifa of Islam, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It is said about him that he used to say that on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must announce that everyone is going to go into Jannah except one person, then I fear that Umar is that one that won't go. And he said, if Allah has to announce that everybody is going into the fire of Jahannam, only one person is going to go to Jannah, then Umar feels that he will be that one. This is the perfect state of al-khawf, al-imanu bayn al-khawf wal-raja. So much of balance between khawf and raja. There must be a sense of khawf also. There must be a sense of raja. There must be a sense of fear. And there must be a sense of hope. And in this manner, we should approach the end of the month of Ramadan. We should not feel boastful about what we did, that I did this ibadat and that ibadat, but at the same time, we should not despair about what we did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind and merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will accept. Now, my dear friends, as the month is about to depart and the flight of Ramadan is about to take off, so now the announcements have been made that all the passengers must get on board before the flight takes off. Now before this flight takes off, what are we supposed to do at the end of this month of Ramadan? Or how should we bring this month to a close? What should be the closing actions of this month of Ramadan? This is also very, very important. My dear brothers, one very important thing as this month is coming to an end is to repent profusely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our sins that we committed throughout our life and for all our mistakes in our ibadah throughout our life and especially for our mistakes in this month of Ramadan that we did not show appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a very, very important thing that we should be doing as this month is coming to a close. We should not forget the warning in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he mentioned that ba'uda liman adraka ramadan falam yughfar lah, cursed be that person, unfortunate is that person that Ramadan came and Allah's doors of amnesty and forgiveness were wide open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was willing to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of forgiveness for everyone, even the big, big sinners. Allah opened the doors of forgiveness, but this person, out of his negligence, out of his sheer negligence, he didn't even have the tawfiq of lifting his hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah for forgiveness. And the month of Ramadan went past and he did not secure his maghfirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is a very, very unfortunate person. This person is what we will call mahroom, completely deprived person, the person who did not get the opportunity of gaining the maghfirat and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the closing moments of this month of Ramadan. So this is the ideal opportunity for us to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every chance we get, after every salah, in the morning, in the evening, at night, at tahajjud time, at sehri time, at iftar time, these are all moments of qubuliyat and acceptance of dua. We should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us maghfirat and forgiveness. Then also, my dear friends, this is also an opportunity to secure the acceptance of our du'as. We should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, accept all the du'as that I made in this month of Ramadan and whatever other things that we wish to ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a chance, we have an opportunity before this month ends, because the way du'as are accepted in Ramadan, that level of acceptance is not there in other months of the year. So we should seize this opportunity and ask to our heart's content whatever we desire. We ask, we need things of this world. We need many of our wants and needs of this world to be fulfilled. Whatever it is about ourselves, our health, our condition, our family, our children, our relatives, and our friends, and the ummah. This is the opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to ask and beg of Him. This is a wonderful opportunity that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that we should not only be asking for our needs insofar as worldly aspects are concerned, but we should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our spiritual needs, these are more important than our worldly needs. For example, we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the quality of taqwa. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the quality of taqwa. This is what Ramadan is about. It is about the quality of taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting was made compulsory because of taqwa. To get taqwa, we on our own strength, we will not be able to gain the quality of taqwa. But when we ask Allah, Ya Allah, grant me taqwa. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua to Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda, wa-tuqa, wal-afafa, wal-ghina, wa min al-amali ma tarda. Beautiful duas. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-ghina. Allah, give me contentment of heart. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-ghina, wa-tuqa. I ask you for the quality of taqwa, wal afafa, the quality of chastity, to stay away from haram, to stay away from illicit relations, to stay away from haram relations, to stay away with haram contact and connection with people. So, wal afafa, wal ghina, wa min al amali, ma tarda. We ask in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq of good deeds to do. These are the things. Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. This is also a dua. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that this dua you should make, seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the quality of taqwa. Don't think that we will get taqwa on our own strength, on our own ability, and that, you know, we will gain this quality of taqwa because of our knowledge, or because of our ability or intelligence. No, my dear friends, these qualities come from the khazana and the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhlas comes from the treasure of Allah. We cannot acquire ikhlas on our own strength. When Allah gives us the quality of ikhlas from His treasure, then we will develop the quality of ikhlas. Good akhlaq also is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ihdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, fa innahu la yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant, wasrif anni sayyi'aha, fa innahu la yasrifu an sayyi'aha illa ant. Dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, guide me to good akhlaq, for none can guide towards good akhlaq besides you. Our good akhlaq is not from ourselves, it is from Allah. We take all this from the khazana and treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma kama ahsanta khalqi fa ahsin khuluqi. The dua, we look in the mirror, we read this dua. Oh Allah, just as you made my outward appearance good, make my akhlaq just as good. Good akhlaq doesn't come from our strength or ability. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need good akhlaq. We need taqwa. We need ikhlas. We need ihsan. We need sabr. We need shukr. We need all these beautiful qualities. We need tawakkul. We need iman. We need yaqeen. We need ilm. We need amal salih. We need all of these great spiritual gifts of Allah. And these we can gain by asking and begging of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the purification of our heart, it is not on our strength or ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran that وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ. If it is not the fadl, the grace and the rahmah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma zaka minkum min ahadin abada, none of you will become purified. None of you will get purity and purification of the heart. Walakinna Allah yuzakki man yasha. Allah is the one who gives the purification of the heart, and He removes from our heart the evil things like kufr, shirk, nifaq, shiqaq, shak, and things like hatred, malice, bughz, inad, and all these kind of evil qualities of kibr and riyah and sum'ah, and all these bad qualities of showing off name, fame, and all love of wealth, hubbul mal, hubbul dunya, all of these things are only removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace. Walakinna Allah yuzakki man yasha. Allah is the one who purifies the heart. So therefore, my dear friends, whilst we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us good health and barakat and give us rizq and give us sustenance and give us pious children and to give us a nice house to stay in, nice car to drive and good clothes to wear and healthy food, and we ask Allah ta'ala for fitness and health and all of these things, we should also be asking all the spiritual things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these also come only from the khazana and the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, at the end of this month of Ramadan, my dear brothers, the three things. One I mentioned is istighfar and tawbah we should make profusely. Second thing we should be doing is making dua and asking Allah for all our needs. And the third thing that we should be doing is we should make some firm intentions and we should make some good resolutions as this month is coming to an end. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, whatever tawfiq you gave me in this month of Ramadan, let me at least continue with it after Ramadan. As I mentioned many a times over and over, that it must not be that the moon of Eid appears and the musallis of the masjid disappear. That now finished, as if the, you know, like they say, it is as if the bird has flown out of the cage now. Or the prisoner has left the prison. Now everything is forgotten. All that atmosphere of Ramadan, those salahs, the nafil salahs, that tilawat of Quran, that zikrullah, that dua, that charity, those good deeds, all these good things that we were doing in this Mubarak month. It must not be that this month comes and when it goes, then everything goes with it. We should maintain all of these things. If not on the level of Ramadan, at least to some level, we should maintain the good deeds of Ramadan. We should maintain all of these good practices. Allah give us hidayat and tawfiq, my dear brothers. Minimum that we should be doing is at least read our 5 times salah. How can it be that in Ramadan we read Taraweeh salah 20 rakats extra, and people read Tahajjud salah too and some other nafil salahs, but no sooner Ramadan is over we're missing Farz salah? And it should also, we should not go into haram. We gave up halal in the month of Ramadan, not to go back towards haram after the month of Ramadan. We showed the willpower to give up even halal, which was permissible for us in the state of fasting. We could have eaten, drank, did what we want, but we stayed away from that which was halal for the pleasure of Allah. Why can't we stay away from haram for the pleasure of Allah? Allah give us tawfiq to stay away from all these haram and sinful practices, especially on the day of Eid al-Fitr, my dear brothers. How bad and how sad that Ramadan is just over and Eid day already we start with all the wrong things, and music is blaring and people are indulging and missing salah after salah. How strange it is, my dear brothers. How strange that we go for Eid salah. Did we hear anybody give azan for Eid namaz? Up till today, anyone has heard anywhere? Any Eidgah? You can remember the muazzin was there with giving azan for Eid salah. Nobody gave azan for Eid salah. But without the azan, every person reached the Eidgah and the place of Eid salah and read the Eid salah. So if we can go for Eid salah without the azan, and which is not even farz, it's wajib salah, then 5 daily salah, which is farz, and for which the muazzin is calling us 5 times a day, how can it be that we are missing our 5 daily salah? So Ramadan trained us so much that we didn't even need azan to go for Eid salah. So when azan is being called, then my dear friends, it is so important that we respond to the call of the azan and we don't miss a single salah after this. All make intention and say, inshallah, from now till our maut, inshallah, we won't miss a single farz salah. All say, inshallah, Allah accept our good intention. Allah reward us for this. Allah record this for us. If maut comes now too, Allah will write us down in the list of the musallin because we made that intention. Also, my dear friends, as this month is coming to an end, we should try to end it off nicely. Don't end it off in a bad way. Because remember, al-ibratu bil khawatim, innam al-ibratu bil khawatim, hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what you do at the end is what counts. Let's give an example. We are on a flight, we took off, and you're flying to Jeddah or wherever else, and the flight took off nicely, had a wonderful takeoff, the flight was very smooth, no turbulence in the air, everybody was comfortable, flight was going smooth. Now comes the time of landing. Now Allah forbid, after 5, 6 hours or 7 hours, 8 hour flight, Allah forbid, at the time of landing, if that flight has to crash, Allahumma fazna, Allah protect us, what will be the outcome? People will say, no, you know, it was such a wonderful flight, takeoff was very good, and the flight was, well, only landing time it crashed. So what we'll say? There was no point in having a good takeoff and a good flight if it ended off in a crash. Because all what happened before was of no benefit. Like that, my dear brothers, let us not crash our flight of Ramadan at the end. Let this flight land nicely. Let there be a smooth landing. In fact, even if we had the turbulent takeoff and we had turbulence throughout the flight, that's also fine as long as we have a good landing. Let this flight land nicely. Let the flight of Ramadan land in such a manner that we have secured the maghfirat and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The odd nights are still there. Tomorrow night is 27th night of Ramadan. Then will be 29th night of Ramadan. These are the odd nights. These are the flights of Ramadan. There's still 2 flights left to take off. My dear friend, let us not spoil it at the end of this month. We are going to find some people on 27th night of Ramadan, the great night which could be Laylatul Qadr. They will be doing other things. There'll be some distractions that will be coming. And many people even know what I'm hinting about. All these matches will be taking place and people will be focusing on that. The time for ibadat, and people are going to waste their life and time in all of this here. Don't worry about these things now in the month of Ramadan. Matches will happen. People, what is there if you scored few goals or you, whatever you, what achievement is that? What is the benefit of that to you and I? If some people scored, some team scored some goals or they didn't score some goals, how does that increase or decrease our iman? How does that bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These things don't matter, my dear brothers. Don't make this a focal point. Don't spoil 27 night of Ramadan by indulging in all these things. Cut all this nonsense out. Make this night a special night. Focus on the ibadat of this night. Focus on the ibadat of the 29th night. Even the even nights. I mentioned the other day too, that even the even nights are for ibadat of Allah. Don't spoil the even nights too. Don't spoil the odd nights. Let this month end off in the right way. Let it not be that, you know, towards the end of this month, shaitan gets hold of us and we're getting involved in all these things, and our time and energy goes away in all commentating and all these things here. And instead of focusing on the most important things at the end of this month, we get involved in frivolous things. That is a sign that our flight is crashing now. Don't let our flight crash at the time of landing. Let this flight land nicely, inshaAllah. Al-ibratu bil-khawateem. What ends well will be regarded as well. That will be good now, because it ended off nicely. No matter what happened before, but as long as it ended off well, it will be good. The person committed sins all his life, but at the time of his mort, he made tawbah, and he read kalima la ilaha illallah, and man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. The person whose last words were la ilaha illallah enters Jannah. So he ended his life nicely, no matter what other things he did in between. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him entry into Jannah. But at the end of his life, he starts doing all wrong things, haram things, and his iman also comes into doubt, and his iman becomes shaky, then never mind what good deeds he did before, because it's the ending that determines the outcome. If the ending is good, then it will be regarded as good. So let us end this month off in a nice way, and at the end I also want to remind our brothers that few important things as we come to the close of this month of Ramadan, the importance of Zakatul Fitr or Sadaqatul Fitr. This is to purify the fast from whatever mistakes there were, and it is also a form of support to the poor and needy people in the community, so that everybody has something on the day of Eid. Everyone can have some nice clothes to wear. The poor people's children can wear some nice clothing. They can also wear nice shoes to wear. They can also have some food on the table. What a sad Eid it will be, my dear friends, that the wealthy and rich are enjoying and eating and the poor people are deprived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want that to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the poor people to also enjoy the Eid. So therefore Allah made Sadaqatul Fitr compulsory upon the wealthy. That for every person in your household, you have to give that amount. It's a small amount. In fact, Allah give us tawfiq that we increase that amount. That is the minimum amount. That doesn't mean that no, you can't give more than that. No. That doesn't mean that now maximum you must give is that. It is just a guideline. According to some ulama, the actual amount of Sadaqatul Fitr can be much higher, maybe even 5 times higher than what we see. Open the heart and give in the way of Allah. Give to the poor people. Share. You know, as they say, care and share. Take what we got. Give the poor people. The poor must have a good Eid. Their children also must wear nice clothing. We want to see all the Muslims on day of Eid wearing nice clothes, eating good food. At least that one day, a day of happiness, a celebration, day of celebration for the Muslimin, it will be an indictment on the wealthy that poor people don't have nice clothes to wear on Eid while the wealthy are wearing the best of clothes. The poor people don't have nice food to eat while the wealthy people are eating the best of food. Open our hearts up to even feed the poor people on the day of Eid. Whatever arrangements we can do, remember my dear brothers, there's more happiness in feeding than in feasting. There is more satisfaction in feeding than in feasting. And that is what Ramadan came to teach us, that feed the people. Give happily, give generously. That generosity must continue after Ramadan. So let us open up our hearts and give Sadaqatul Fitr. Make sure otherwise our fast will be suspended. It won't be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't leave it to the last minute. Don't leave it right to the end. Try and give it away earlier so the poor people can have at least some time to go and buy. Now you want to give it on Eid day. Where must the man go on shopping on Eid day to go and buy clothes for his children? He should have rather given him few days before. He could have at least went and bought some food for the house. Eid morning he must go shopping. That is the time to be enjoying. That is the time to be wearing one's nice clothes, etc. So Allah give us tawfiq that Sadaqatul Fitr should be given out. Also very, very important, make sure that we fulfill the sunnahs of Eidul Fitr. Very important to fulfill the sunnahs of Eidul Fitr. And very important is the night of Eidul Fitr. These are from amongst the big nights in Islam. Not only the last odd nights of Ramadan, but even the night of Eidul Fitr is a very important night in the Islamic calendar. So keep these few things in mind. Allah accept all our ibadat of Ramadan. Allah forgive all our sins. Allah grant all our needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us piety and all the good qualities that we're supposed to gain in this month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.